personal log, stardate 3013.1. I find it hard to believe the events of the past 24 hours, or the plea of Mr. Spock standing general court-martial.
How do you plead to the charge of unlawfully taking command of this starship?
Guilty.
Of sabotaging the computers of this vessel and locking it on a course for planet Talos IV.
Guilty.
And of forcibly attempting to transport Captain Pike to that planet.
Guilty.
Why? Why does Spock want to take to that forbidden world, his former captain, mutilated by a recent space disaster, now a shell of a man, unable to speak or move? The only answer Spock would give was on the hearing room screen. How Spock could do this, he refused to explain. But there before our eyes, actual images from 13 years ago, of Captain Pike as he was when he commanded this vessel, of Spock in those days, and of how the Enterprise had become the first and only starship to visit Talos IV. They had received a distress signal from that planet and discovered there, still alive after many years, the survivors of a missing vessel, only to find it was all an illusion. No survivors, no encampment. It was all a trap set by a race of beings who could make a man believe he was seeing anything they wished him to see. And Captain Pike was gone, a prisoner for some unknown purpose.
And the images we've been seeing are
coming from Talos IV, sir.
Mr. Spock, you're aware of the orders regarding any contact with Talos IV. You have deliberately invited the death penalty.
Later, alone with Spock.
Do you know what you're doing? Have you lost your mind?
Captain, Jim, please. Don't stop me. Don't let him stop me. It's your career and Captain Pike's life. You must see the rest of the transmission.
Final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. The Menagerie, Part 2.
The court-martial of Mr. Spock has been convened in closed session. Despite all we can do, images continue to be transmitted to us from Talos IV.
Starfleet has ordered no contact with Talos IV. They made no exceptions.
You have no choice, sir. I'm sorry.
To Pike.
The Keeper has taken over control of our screen. Do you understand, sir? As you saw before, Captain Pike had been knocked unconscious and captured by the Talosians.
Kirk, Pike in his life support wheelchair, and the Commodore are alone in the room with Spock. The screen shows Captain Pike in a small cage or cell, the walls made of rock and metal. Ahead of him is a wall of glass, and beyond it a corridor of rock. Captain Pike gets up off the strangely shaped bed, puts his hand out towards the glass, and taps it tentatively. He tries to smash through it with his elbow. The glass wobbles but doesn't break. The doors of a lift open, and four of the silver-robed creatures with their enormous bald craniums appear, including the leader with the chain around his neck. They go up to Pike's cage and gaze in through the glass.
Can you hear me? My name is Christopher Pike, commander of the Space Vehicle Enterprise from a stellar group at the other end of this galaxy. Our intentions are peaceful. Can you understand me?
It appears, Magistrate, that the intelligence of the specimen is shockingly limited.
This is no surprise, since his vessel was baited here so easily with a simulated message. As you can read in its thoughts, it is only now beginning to suspect that the survivors and encampment were a simple illusion we placed in their minds.
You're not speaking, yet I can hear you.
You will note the confusion as it reads our thought transmissions.
All right, then, telepathy. You can read my mind, I can read yours. Now, unless you want my ship to consider capturing me in an unfriendly act...
You now see the primitive fear threat reaction. The specimen is about to boast of his strength, the weaponry of his vessel, and so on. Next. Frustrated into a need to display physical prowess, the creature will throw himself against the transparency.
Pike tries to break the transparent wall.
If you were in here, wouldn't you test the strength of these walls too? There's a way out of any cage, and I'll find it.
Despite its frustration, the creature appears more adaptable than our specimens from other planets. We can soon begin the experiment.
The landing party meet with Number One in a briefing room.
The inhabitants of this planet must live deep underground. Probably manufacture food and other needs down there. Now, our tests indicate the planet's surface without considerably more vegetation or some animals. Simply too barren to support life.
So we just thought we saw survivors there, Mr. Spock.
Exactly. An illusion placed in our minds by this planet's inhabitants.
It was a perfect illusion. They had us seeing just what we wanted to see. Human beings who'd survived with dignity and bravery. Everything entirely logical, right down to the building of the camp, the tattered clothing, everything. Now, let's be sure we understand the danger of this. The inhabitants of this planet can read our minds. They can create illusions out of a person's own thoughts, memories, and experiences, even out of a person's own desires. Illusions just as real and solid as this tabletop and just as impossible to ignore.
It's Captain Pike they've got. He needs help.
If we start buzzing about down there, we're liable to find their mental power is so great, they could reach out and swat this ship as though it were a fly.
Now, that entry may have stood up against hand lasers, but we can transmit the ship's power against it, enough to blast half a continent.
They turn to the first officer.
Engineering deck will rig to transmit ship's power. We'll try blasting through that metal.
The meeting ends. On the planet, the Talosians watch Captain Pike on their screen.
Thousands of us are already probing the creature's thoughts, Magistrate. We find excellent memory capacity.
I read most strongly a recent death struggle in which it fought to protect its life. We will begin with this, giving the specimen something more interesting to protect.
As Pike methodically feels along the walls of his cell, he suddenly finds himself outside on a strange planet beneath a huge moon. In front of him, Vina, dressed like a fairy tale princess, runs out from a fortress with golden domed towers.
Come on! We must hide ourselves! Come! Come! Hurry! It's deserted. There'll be weapons and perhaps food.
This is Rigel 7.
Please, we must hide ourselves.
I was in a cage, a cell, in some kind of a zoo. I must still be there.
Come on!
They've reached into my mind and taken the memory of somewhere I've been.
The killer!
Starting just as it happened 2 weeks ago. Except for you.
Pike races after Vina, who's disappearing through the gates of the fortress. In the hearing room, Spock turns to Kirk, the Commodore, and the wheelchair-bound Pike.
A brilliant deduction by Captain Pike, gentlemen. Yes, he was still inside his cell. But knowing that couldn't help him.
The Talosians controlled his brain.
And could make him live any place, any time, any situation they wished. He would see, taste, suffer with the same reality as you gentlemen sitting there.
Longer hair, different dress, but it is you. The one the survivors call Vina.
They look around.
Or rather, the image of Vina. But why you again? Why didn't they create a different girl?
A gigantic, helmeted warrior dressed in furs and carrying an axe and a shield comes into the courtyard of the fortress.
Quick! If you attack while it's not looking.
But it's only a dream.
The warrior pulls a stout wooden door off its hinges and disappears through the doorway.
You have to kill him, as you did here before.
You can tell my jailers I won't go along with it. I'm not an animal performing for its supper.
It doesn't matter what you call this. You'll feel it. That's what matters. You'll feel every moment of what happens to you.
Pike and Vina crouch behind the wheel of a cart as the bearded Kalar warrior returns. He sees them Keeping Vina behind him and his back to the wall, Pike pushes her up a nearby flight of steps. The courtyard is strewn with old weapons and lances. Shrubs grow among the ruins. Tattered banners hang from the walls. Pike picks up a studded mace from the ground and prepares to fight. The warrior charges. Pike ducks under the warrior's axe and lands a blow on his shield. The warrior charges again and they exchange blows. Pike backs towards the archway where Vina is sheltering. He grabs a lance and retreats up the steps as the warrior presses forward. The warrior's axe splinters the lance. Pike and Vina reach the top of the steps where Pike picks up a curved sword, but the warrior hurls him down into the courtyard. The warrior grabs Vina. Pike scrambles to his knees, picks up a short-bladed sword and throws it at the Kalar's back. The wounded warrior turns and prepares to leap down on Pike. Pike grabs a spearhead and jams it into the ground. The warrior lands on its jagged point. Vina turns her head away. Pike looks up at her. The fortress walls shimmer, and they're both back in the glass cage. Vina wears a short silver dress.
It's over.
She puts her arms around Pike's neck. They glance through the glass. Outside the cage, the Talosian leader and his three attendants are looking on. Dismissively, the creatures step back into the lift. In the hearing room, the screen goes blank and lights come up. In his wheelchair, Pike's head lolls forward.
Who is she? Why have they stopped the images?
Because they know that Captain Pike is fatigued. We can reconvene later.
Then they care about the captain.
They want him back. Alive, sir.
I demand to know why.
If you'll be patient, sir, the answers to your question...
You're forgetting you're on trial, Spock. You will answer all questions put to you.
My answer to your question would be quite unbelievable, sir. I regret we'll have to wait and see it there.
Kirk and the Commodore exchange a look.
Personal log, stardate 3013.2. Reconvening court-martial of Mr. Spock, and the strangest trial evidence ever heard aboard a starship. From the mysterious planet now only 1 hour ahead of us, the story of Captain Pike's imprisonment there.
On screen, Pike turns to Vina.
Why are you here?
To please you.
Are you real?
As real as you wish.
No. No, that's not any answer. I've never met you before, never even imagined you.
Perhaps they made me out of dreams you've forgotten.
But and dressed you in the same metal fabric they wear?
Or I can wear whatever you wish, or be anything you wish.
So they can see how this specimen performs? They want to see how I react, is that it?
Don't you have a dream, something you've always wanted very badly?
Or do they do more than just watch me? Do they... feel with me, too?
You can have whatever dream you want. I can become anything. Any woman you've ever imagined. You can have anything you want in the whole universe. Let me please you.
Yes, you can please me. You can tell me about them. Is there any way I can keep them from probing my mind, from using my thoughts against me?
She lowers her eyes a moment.
Does that frighten you? Does that mean there is a way?
She shakes her head.
Fool!
And since you're not real, there's not much point in continuing this conversation, is there?
He turns his back on her. On the planet's surface, the First Officer leads a landing party, setting up a laser cannon.
All circuits engaged, Mr. Spock.
Standing by, number one.
Take cover.
10, 9, 8.
The cannon points at the doorway on the rocky knoll. Six, the crew take cover behind five, nearby boulders.
4, 3, 2, 1.
A blue beam shoots from the cannon. The first officer crouches down beside Dr. Boyce, her communicator open. Wearing protective goggles, they watch as pieces of rock tumble. Flashes of light radiate from the doors, but they remain intact.
Increase to full power!
The doors glow red. Ripples of red, violet, and white light radiate out from the doors, but still they withstand the onslaught.
Can you give us any more?
The doors glow orange, then white. Dr. Boyce rubs his chin anxiously.
Our circuits are beginning to heat. We'll have to seize power.
Disengage!
As the cannon powers down, the red glow fades from the rocky doorway. The crew remove their goggles. Number One turns and speaks to the doctor.
The top of that knoll should have been sheared off the first second.
Maybe it was. It's what I tried to explain in the briefing room. Their power of illusion is so great we can't be sure of anything we do, anything we see.
Boyce gets up and goes towards the rocky knoll. In the cage, Pike sits with his back towards Vina.
Perhaps, if you ask me some questions, I could answer.
How far can they control my mind?
If I tell you, then will you pick some dream you've had and let me live it with you?
He turns to her.
Perhaps.
They can't actually make you do anything you don't want
to. But they try to trick me with their illusions.
And they can punish you when you're not cooperative. You'll find out about that.
Did they ever live on the surface of this planet? Why did they go underground?
War. Thousands of centuries ago.
That's why it's so barren up there?
The planet's only now becoming able to support life again.
So the Telosians who came underground found life limited here, and they concentrated on developing their mental power.
But they found it's a trap. Like a narcotic. Because when dreams become more important than reality, you give up travel, building, creating. You even forget how to repair the machines left behind by your ancestors. You just sit, living and reliving other lives left behind in the thought record.
Or sit probing the minds of zoo specimens like me.
You're better than a theater to them. They create an illusion for you. They watch you react, feel your emotions. They have a whole collection of specimens. Descendants of life brought back long ago from all over this part of the galaxy.
His eyes narrow.
Which means they had to have more than one of each animal.
Please.
They'll need a pair of humans, too. Where do they intend to get the Earth Woman?
You said that if I answered your questions...
But that was a bargain with something that didn't exist. You said you weren't real, remember?
The magistrate has appeared outside the cage.
I'm a woman. As real and as human as you are. We're like Adam and Eve. If we could...
She writhes.
Please don't punish me!
She vanishes, leaving only her silver dress behind. Pike turns and sees the Telosian magistrate stepping back into the lift. The Commodore turns to Captain Pike in his wheelchair.
An Earth Woman? Then you were captured as breeding stock.
Why? Just to maintain a supply of zoo specimens?
Much more, Captain.
They turn back to the screen. In his cage, Captain Pike searches for a weakness in the smooth, curved panels of the wall. He doesn't notice one of the panels by his feet sliding open. Too late, he sees the opening and lunges for it. On the floor of the cage below is a glass vial shaped like a champagne flute. The magistrate watches from the other side of the glass wall.
The vial contains a nourishing protein complex.
Is the keeper actually communicating with one of his animals?
If the form and the color is not appealing, it can appear as any food you wish to visualize.
And if I prefer...
To starve, you overlook the unpleasant alternative of punishment.
Pike throws back his head and winces in pain. He drops onto his elbows. Suddenly, he's in a flaming pit surrounded by scalding rocks and bubbling liquid. He balls his fists in agony. As abruptly as they appeared, the flames vanish.
From a fable you once heard in childhood, you will now consume the nourishment.
Why not just put irresistible hunger in my mind? If you can't, can you? You do have limitations, don't you?
If you continue to disobey, from deeper in your mind, there are things even more unpleasant.
Pike looks at the vial of liquid in his hand and reluctantly drinks. The Talosian magistrate watches complacently. Pike gets to his feet and charges the glass wall of the cage. The magistrate backs away in alarm.
That's very interesting.
Now to the female.
You were startled. Weren't you reading my mind then?
As you've conjectured, an Earth vessel did crash on our planet, but with only a single survivor.
Now let's stay on the first subject. All I wanted for that moment was to get my hands around your neck.
We repaired the survivor's injuries and found the species interesting.
The primitive thoughts put up a block you can't read through.
It became necessary to attract a mate.
All right, let's talk about the girl. You seem to be going out of your way to make her attractive, to make me feel protective.
This is necessary in order to perpetuate the species.
Seems more important to you now that I begin to accept her and like her.
We wish our specimens to be happy in their new life.
Assuming that's a lie, why would you want me attracted to her? So I'll feel love and a husband-wife relationship? Well, that'd be necessary only if you intend to build a family group or perhaps a whole human community.
With the female now properly conditioned.
You mean properly punished? I'm the one who's not cooperating. Why don't you punish me?
First, an emotion of protectiveness. Now, one of sympathy. Excellent.
He steps back into the lift. The wall shimmers behind Pike.
Want some coffee, dear?
He turns round. He's in a wooded glade with a city in the distance. Vina, dressed in white trousers and top, is laying out a picnic on a blanket.
I left the thermos hooked to my saddle.
A horse is tethered to a tree nearby. Pike, dressed in a casual blue denim top and trousers, goes over to it. He looks at the horse and strokes its neck.
Tango! You old devil, you.
I'm sorry, I don't have any sugar.
He reaches into his pocket and brings out some sugar lumps.
Well, they think of everything, don't they?
Is it good to be home?
They read our minds very well. Home, anything else I want, if I cooperate, is that it?
My, it turned out to be a lovely day, didn't it?
Pike puts his hands on his hips. Vina looks at him with pleading eyes.
You're home. You can even stay if you want.
But we're not here, neither of us. We're in a menagerie, a cage.
No!
I can't help either one of us if you won't give me a chance. You told me once they used illusions as a narcotic. They couldn't even repair the machines left by their ancestors. Is that why they want us? To build a colony of slaves?
Stop it! Don't you care what they'll do to us?
Back in my cage, it seemed for a couple of minutes that our keeper couldn't read my thoughts. Do emotions like hate, keeping hate in your mind, does that block off our mind from them?
She lowers her eyes.
Yes. They can't read through primitive emotions. But you can't keep it up for long enough. I've tried. They keep at you, year after year, tricking and punishing. And they won. They own me.
Briefly, she meets his eye.
And then you must hate me for that.
Oh, no, I don't hate you. I can guess what it was like.
That's not enough. Don't you see? They read my thoughts, my feelings, my dreams of what would be a perfect man. That's why they picked you. I can't help but love you. And they expect you to feel the same way.
If they can read my mind, then they know I'm attracted to you. I was from the very first moment I saw you in the survivors' camp. You were like a wild little animal.
I'm beginning to see why none of this has worked for you. You've been home, and fighting is on Rigel. That's not new to you either. A person's strongest dreams are about what he can't do. Yes, a ship's captain, always having to be so formal, so decent and honest and proper. You must wonder what it would be like to forget all that.
The Talosian magistrate waves his hand and the setting changes. Pike finds himself in an Eastern-style palace, watching a green-skinned slave girl dancing. Lounging around a low table with him are a leering bald man and a Starfleet officer. The officer grins at Pike.
Nice place you have here, Mr. Pike.
Dressed in luxurious purple robes, Pike watches the scantily clad girl dancing. Despite her green skin and dark hair, her face, when she turns round, is unmistakable.
Vina?
In the hearing room, Kirk turns to Captain Pike in his wheelchair.
That's Vina again? That's the green Orion slave girl?
They're like animals. Vicious, seductive. They say no human male can resist them.
They turn back to the screen where the musicians play and the Orion slave girl dances, coiling her arms and swaying her hips provocatively. The handsome Captain Pike can't take his eyes from her.
Strange evidence from the past. How the Talosians, planning to breed a society of human slaves, tempted Captain Pike with the Earth woman they held in captivity. And as she appeared to him in many forms, each more exciting than the last, Pike was beginning to weaken.
On the screen, Pike swallows hard as he watches the voluptuous green-skinned slave girl perform her sensuous dance. His guests, a Starfleet officer and a bald-headed trader, leer lasciviously as they recline at a table loaded with fruit.
Suppose you had all the space to choose from, and this was only one small sample. Wouldn't you say it was worth a man's soul?
Lust and alarm mingle in Pike's wild-eyed expression. Abruptly, he gets to his feet and strides through into a nearby chamber. The slave girl pauses in her dance to watch him go. The walls of the chamber are carved from bare rock and hung with swags of cloth. Light comes from flaming torches set into the stone. As Pike looks around, the music fades. He runs back. The door he came in by is now a solid wall of rock. At the far end of the room, another small doorway opens into a second chamber. A warm light comes from within. As Pike looks into the room, the slave girl appears behind him, carrying a flaming torch. Pike turns and gazes at her. She runs her tongue over her lips. Back on board the Enterprise, the first officer gathers a landing party in the transporter room.
Now you all know the situation. We're hoping to transport down inside the Talosian community.
If our measurements and readings are an illusion also, one could find oneself materialized inside solid rock.
Nothing will be said if any volunteer wants to back out.
The landing party includes Spock, Tyler, the first officer, and Colt, the red-headed yeoman. As they step onto the platform, the transporter crew set the controls. The two women dematerialize, but not the men.
The women!
The transporter crew try to call them back, but they materialize inside Pike's cage. Vina is standing beside Pike, both of them in a trance-like state.
Captain! Captain!
No, let me finish!
But we were a party of six. We were the only ones transported.
It's not fair. You don't need them.
Pike opens Yeoman Colt's jacket and takes her laser. Then he takes number one's.
They don't work.
They were fully charged when we left.
She pulls out her communicator.
Dad, I can't make a signal. What is it?
Don't say anything. Filling my mind with a picture of beating their huge, misshapen heads to pulp! But so primitive, they black out everything else.
I'm filling my mind with hate.
How long can you block your thoughts? A few minutes? An hour? How can that help?
Leave him alone.
He doesn't need you. He's already picked me.
Picked her? For what? I don't understand.
Now there's a fine choice for intelligent offspring.
Offspring? As in children?
Offspring as in he's Adam. Is that it?
You're no better choice. They'd have more luck crossing him with a computer.
Well, shall we do a little time computation? There was a Vena listed on that expedition as an adult crewman. Now, adding 18 years to your age then.
The Talosian magistrate steps out of the lift. Vena runs to the front of the cage.
It's not fair! I did what you asked!
Since you resist the present specimen, you now have a selection.
I'll break out of this zoo somehow and get to you. Is your blood red like ours? I'm going to find out.
Each of the two new specimens has qualities in her favor. The female you call number one has the superior mind and would produce highly intelligent children.
All I want to do is get my hands on you. Can you read these thoughts? Images of hate, killing.
The other new arrival has considered you unreachable, but now is realizing this has changed. The factors in her favor are youth and strength, plus unusually strong female drives.
You'll find my thoughts more interesting. Thoughts so primitive you can't understand. Emotions so
Pike winces in pain. Number one, cold, look at him. Vena covers her face.
Wrong thinking is punishable. Right thinking will be as quickly rewarded. You will find it an effective combination.
He turns and glides into the lift. Number one and Colt look at Pike anxiously.
No. No, don't help me. I have to concentrate. They can't read through hate.
Later, in the cage, Vena is on the bed asleep. Pike and Colt lean against it, dozing. The first officer sits with her back turned. The lift door opens and the magistrate slips softly out. Pike opens his eyes and hurriedly pretends to be asleep. The hatch at the bottom of the cage starts to open. Just below the hatch are the two laser pistols. Pike waits as the hatch opens further. He leaps to his feet, drags the Talosian into the cell, and puts his hands around his throat.
Now you hold still,
don't
Rupprecht.
Don't hurt them. They don't mean to be evil.
I've had some samples of how good they are.
As Number One and Colt watch, the Talosian changes into a hairy, boar-headed alien. The captain keeps his relentless grip on its throat.
You stop this illusion or I'll twist your head off.
The alien changes back into the wizened Talosian with the huge brain case.
All right. You try one more illusion, you try anything at all, and I'll break your neck.
Your ship, release me, or we'll destroy it.
He's not bluffing, Captain. With illusion, they can make your crew work the wrong controls or push any button it takes to destroy your ship.
I'm going to gamble you're too intelligent to kill for no reason at all.
He pushes the magistrate over to Number One, who puts her arm around his throat. Pike picks up the laser pistol, points it at the glass wall, and fires. Nothing happens. He fires the second one, then points it at the magistrate's head.
On the other hand, I've got a reason. I'm willing to bet you've created an illusion this laser is empty. I think it just blasted a hole in that window and you're keeping us from seeing it. You want me to test my theory out on your head?
Captain!
A large hole with jagged, burnt edges has appeared in the glass wall. Pike smiles, grabs the magistrate by the arm and pushes him through it. The first officer, Colt, and Vena follow them towards the lift. In the hearing room, the picture on the screen vanishes. Kirk, the Commodore, and Spock wait. But nothing happens. Spock gets to his feet.
It seems the Talosians have deserted you.
Gentlemen, a moment, please.
Spock turns and looks at the screen. Nothing happens.
Well, Mr. Spock?
The Commodore turns to Pike.
May I have your verdict?
A signal you want them to wait. Captain, please, it's your life now. At least a chance for life.
You keep talking about life, Mr. Spock. A chance for life. How? As a prisoner? Caged? A zoo specimen? Living the illusions that amuse his keepers?
No, Captain. There's more to it. Watch.
Nothing happens. The Commodore turns to Captain Pike again.
Guilty, yes or no, Captain? Yes. I must also vote guilty as charged.
He turns to Kirk.
And you, Captain?
Kirk looks up at Spock. Their eyes meet.
Guilty. As charged.
On the bridge, the crew watch as planet Talos IV approaches.
A bridge to Commander.
Mendez here.
Sir, we're entering orbit Talos IV.
Talos controls the vessel now, sir, as they did 13 years ago. You've asked me why. You'll see the answer now.
The screen comes back on. With a laser gun pointed at his back, the Talosian leader steps into the lift with Pike, Vena, Number One, and Yeoman Colt. On the surface of the planet, the rocky knoll, blasted by the laser cannon, is split in two, the doors blown from their hinges. The lift arrives at the planet's surface, and Pike steps out.
Make contact, Number One.
They kept us from seeing this, too. We cut through and never knew it. Captain.
Number One tries to operate her communicator. It doesn't work.
As you see, your attempt to escape accomplished nothing.
I want to contact our ship.
You are now on the surface where we wished you to be. With the female of your choice, you will now begin carefully guided lives.
I'll start by burying you.
That is your choice. To help you reclaim the planet's surface, our zoological gardens will furnish a variety of plant life.
Look, I'll make a deal with you. You and your life, for the lives of these two Earth women. You give me proof that our ship is all right, send these two back, and I'll stay with Vena.
Number One turns a dial on her laser pistol. Pike looks at her sharply.
It's wrong to create a whole race of humans to live as slaves.
Is this a deception? Do you intend to destroy yourselves?
What is that?
The weapon is building up an overload, a forced chamber explosion. You still have time to get underground. Well, go on!
He pushes Vena away, then turns to the magistrate.
Just to show you how primitive humans are, Talosian, you go with her.
If you all think it's this important, then I can't go either. I suppose if they have one human being, they might try again.
The lift brings two other Talosians to the surface.
Wait.
Number One turns the dial on her pistol, discharging the overload.
Their method of storing records is crude and consumed much time. Are you prepared to assimilate it?
The magistrate nods and the veins of his enormous cranium pulse as he digests the information. He turns to Captain Pike with a look of astonishment, shaking his head.
We had not believed this possible. The customs and history of your race show a unique hatred of captivity. Even when it's pleasant and benevolent, you prefer death. This makes you too violent and dangerous a species for our needs.
He means that they can't use you. You're free to go back to the ship.
Pike looks at the magistrate bitterly.
And that's it. No apologies. You captured one of us, threatened all of us.
Your unsuitability has condemned the Talosian race to eventual death. Is this not sufficient?
No other specimen has shown your adaptability. You were our last hope.
But wouldn't some form of trade, mutual cooperation?
Your race would learn our power of illusion and destroy itself too.
Captain, we have transporter control now.
Pike looks at the magistrate and the two other Talosians.
Let's get back to the ship.
The magistrate looks at Vina. She turns to Pike.
I can't go with you.
Sir, it just came on. We can't shut the power off.
Mr. Spock here.
All power has come on, Mr. Spock. The helm is answering to control.
Spock starts to hurry from the transporter room, then looks back at the transportation chamber. Yeoman Colt materializes and steps off the platform. Number One materializes and steps off the platform. Spock and a crewman step anxiously towards the transportation chamber.
A captain.
On the planet's surface, Vina looks sadly at Captain Pike and lowers her eyes. The Talosian magistrate turns slowly towards her. As the captain watches, Vina's face starts to age and wrinkle. Her nose becomes misshapen, one shoulder hunches, and ugly scars appear across her forehead, cheek, and mouth. Her hair turns coarse and grey. The magistrate looks at Pike uneasily.
You see why I can't go with you.
This is the female's true appearance.
They found me in the wreckage, dying. Lump of flesh. They rebuilt me. Everything works. But they had never seen a human. They had no guide for putting me back together.
She turns away and starts to limp towards the rocky platform and the lift down into the interior of the planet. Pike watches her go. She looks back at him sadly over her shoulder. He turns to the magistrate.
It was necessary to convince you her desire to stay is an honest one.
You'll give her back her illusion of beauty.
And more.
Pike looks over towards Vina. She's turned back into a beautiful young woman. On the Enterprise, Yeoman Colt sits despondently on the edge of the transporter platform. The transporter chief calls out.
Mr. Spock, the system is coming on again.
Spock and Number One run over to the control console and look back at the platform. The captain materializes and steps slowly off the transportation platform between Yeoman Colt and Number One.
What's happened to Vina? Isn't she coming with us?
No. No, and I agreed with her reasons.
In the hearing room, Spock, Kirk, Mendez, and Pike watch as the younger Pike goes back to the bridge.
All decks, prepare for hyperdrive.
All decks are ready, sir.
Engage!
As the planet recedes in the Enterprise's view screen, in the hearing room, the lights come back on. The wheelchair-bound Captain Pike, his face terribly burned and scarred, gazes at the screen open-mouthed. Kirk gets up and goes over to Spock, then turns back to Commodore Mendez.
Commodore, don't you think that...
The Commodore vanishes. Kirk turns and looks at Spock. The Talosian leader appears on the view screen.
What you now seem to hear, Captain Kirk, are my thought transmissions. The Commodore was never aboard your vessel. His presence there and in the shuttlecraft was an illusion. Mr. Spock had related to us your strength of will. It was thought the fiction of a court-martial would divert you from too soon regaining control of your vessel. Captain Pike is welcome to spend the rest of his life with us, unfettered by his physical body. The decision is yours and his.
The screen goes blank. Kirk looks back at Pike in his life support wheelchair, then turns to Spock.
Mr. Spock, Even if regulations are explicit, you could have come to me and explained.
Ask you to face the death penalty, too. One of us was enough, Captain.
Yes?
Message from Starbase 11, sir. Received images from Talos 4. In view of historic importance of Captain Pike in space exploration, General Order 7 prohibiting contact Talos 4 is suspended this occasion. No action contemplated against Spock. Proceed as you think best. Signed, Mendez, J.I., Commodore, Starbase 11.
Kirk looks across the room at Pike, still gazing open-mouthed and expressionlessly at the blank screen. He goes over to him.
Chris, do you want to go there? Mr. Spock, would you care to take Captain Pike to the transporter room?
Spock steps over to the wheelchair.
See him off?
Thank you, sir. For both of us.
Spock wheels Captain Pike away.
Mr. Spock, when you're finished, please come back and see me. I want to talk to you. This regrettable tendency you've been showing lately towards flagrant emotionalism...
I see no reason to insult me, sir. I believe I've been completely logical about the whole affair.
Kirk looks at Spock in disbelief. The Vulcan turns and wheels Pike away.
Captain Kirk?
Kirk turns to the screen. On the planet's surface, Vina, young and beautiful, walks with Captain Pike, fit and mobile, up the rocky knoll to the lift that leads down into the interior of the planet. Two of the Talosians stand each side of the doors as the lift descends. Kirk looks at the screen in wonder.
Captain Pike, he has an illusion, and you have reality. May you find your way as pleasant.
The screen goes blank. This audio description was written and produced by IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.